Praise the Lord. So stand if you will. Bow our heads in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, what a wonderful opportunity it is, Lord. Lord, we have so many blessings, Lord, to thank you for this evening. Lord, we just appreciate your word, Lord, you've so freely given us. Lord, and another opportunity together, Lord, to hear what you have for us. Lord, we ask you to bless it to our hearts this night. Lord, so we may go out of here a different people, Lord. We just love and appreciate you now. We ask you to have your way. Everything that's said and done be for your glory and your honor. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Page 95 in our capstone books. Soon I'll come to the end of life's journey, and I'll meet the one who gave his life for me, and I will page 23 in our little loose leaf books here. I'm just thinking about all his blessings and amen. We have so many. Amen that he's gave us. go alone. They say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart there's rejoicing. How I wish they could see. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes are not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you, and that's all that matters. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Amen. Do you feel blessed?
Yes, amen.
If you stop and think about all he's done for us, saints.
Yes, dear Lord.
Amen. We're so thankful. Amen. Praise his name. Page 8, same book. Amen. I know we sing it a lot, but he is our strength when we are weak.
Yes, amen.
Amen. He is the treasure we're seeking. Amen.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, hallelujah.
Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all.
When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill me up. You are my Jesus, Lamb of God. precious will. Amen. Sing it one more time.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Brother Settles, you mind taking off again? Praise his name.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly so appreciative.
Oh, hallelujah.
Lord, we have so much to be thankful for.
Yes.
Even, Lord, when your word comes forth, it may hurt sometimes.
Yes.
We're so thankful. Lord, be right here.
Amen.
Lord, we not be judged. Such a privilege, Lord, to serve you. We love you so much. Bless this service, the offering, Lord. May you just bless it, multiply it, meet the needs of your hands. We'll always give you the glory and honor, precious Lord.
Amen. Amen. So glad I know you. Yes. Amen. So glad I know you. Precious Heavenly Father, we love and appreciate you so much, Lord. Lord, just thinking about all your mercy and your grace, Lord, you bestowed upon us. Lord, we did not deserve one ounce of it, Lord. But Lord, that's why we can look back and say, grace, grace, grace. Lord, we appreciate all your long suffering with us. We appreciate your mercy and your grace and your blessings. Lord, for we are a people, Lord, that's thankful for all things. Lord, a people that through the ups and downs, Lord, can be thankful for your grace and your mercy that's right beside us every step of the way. And Lord, we still have needs in this life as we raise our hand signifying a need. And Lord, we ask you to meet them needs, Lord, in a mighty way. Lord, mostly spiritual in our lives, Lord, we ask you to, Lord, give us more revelation, Lord, as we know the time is closing. And Lord, we also have needs in our bodies, Lord, that might hinder us, Lord, from reading or praying. Lord, we ask you to take care of them needs, Lord. Clear our minds, Lord. Help our minds to be better tuned to what you have us to be. And Lord, we ask you to bless Brother Leffler this evening. Lord, we love and appreciate him, Lord, with all our hearts. Lord, we know it's not easy, Lord, to be stuck over there. Lord, we love and appreciate him. Lord, we ask you to bless him. Lord, we ask you to heal his mind, and Lord, just give him peace, Lord. Lord, give him long suffering, Lord, to hang in there, Lord, to you. Lord, take and use him the way you want to. Lord, if there's anything any of us can do, Lord, I pray you'll lay it on our hearts, Lord, that we can help in some way. Lord, for we're brothers and sisters, Lord, in faith in Christ, and we love each other. Lord, we want to take care of each other. We want to uplift each other in prayer. Lord, we just ask you to have your way now in the remainder of the service. Everything that's said be done for your glory and your honor. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. I guess little Paisley has a song she wants to sing for us. Come on up. May God bless all the little ones that want to give their heart to him. Sure. Amen.
Amen.
Praise his name. Let's all stand at this time. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. To reach out and touch the Lord as we ask our brother to come.
Yes.
Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes.
Him. Amen. As we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Lord, we're just so thankful for the opportunity to come and gather once more, Lord, around your precious word. And Lord, just asking that these few scriptures and quotes that you've laid upon my heart, Lord, would be stirring to our hearts, Lord, and cause us to keep pressing, Lord, and to keep reaching for those higher heights. And Lord, as your word is inspired, Lord, and we just want to let give you, Lord, the glory and the honor, and totally thank you that, Lord, you were mindful of us and all the mercy and the grace that you bestowed upon us in this hour, Lord, to give us eyes, Salve, Lord, to be able to see where we're standing and what's taking place around us, and Lord, and to continue to prepare us, Lord, to be sure that we would be ready. And oh, Lord, we just commit ourselves unto you and just ask that your will would be done in the remainder of this service, that through it all you would receive the glory and the honor for everything that's said and done. In the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Isn't he so wonderful?
Yes, he is.
Amen. While you're still standing, if you'd like to turn with us to the book of Romans, the 13th chapter. Just want to freshen your heart up to some things you've already heard and just pray that it'll cause us to keep pressing on. Amen. And pray that the word that came this morning is still burning in our hearts. As we read some of these things, maybe it'll just kind of coincide and see what the Holy Spirit's doing for us. But in Romans, the 13th chapter, and let's begin here at the 11th verse of the 13th chapter of the book of Romans. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting or in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. Paul just had a wonderful way of putting words together sometimes to present a message to us. And you know, as thinking of these things and is looking at the time in which we're living and realizing that the appearing of the Lord is close and how it ought to be on our hearts daily. That ought to be something we arise thinking about. It should be something that every day as we go through life, that's the foremost thought in our life. Could this be the day?
Amen.
Is this the moment? Is this the time? And if it truly was that way in our hearts and in our lives, is the, even what our pastor brought this morning, how much more closely we'd watch what we say. How much more closely we'd watch maybe what we're doing, where we're going. If we thought it just, if you really put your heart and mind to that thought that he could appear at any time.
Yes.
This could be the moment that he's going to return. And will he find a people that's looking? Will he find a people that's loving his appearing? Our pastor's brought many wonderful thoughts on this, and I just want to renew your minds to keep it fresh. That this is what we should be looking for. I'm not concerned with what's happening in the world with all of their cosmos. I don't really care how they're falling and what they're going to do and where they're going to get to. My main concern is to make sure that my ticket's in my hand. And I'm looking at that ticket knowing it's been punched and I'm just waiting for my place to get on. And that's what God's precious word is doing for us right now. The Spirit is checking our hearts. And there's many people throughout the land setting in many churches. And each one they go and they gather for whatever God's got for them. But just be aware that if you're wherever you're gathering, we gather here for under our pastor, the Holy Spirit is bringing things that's needful for us. Because we come praying, asking, Lord, what's my portion? And then when that portion comes forth, Lord, give me the grace and the understanding and the eye salve to be able to see it applied in my life. And how we should see that so much greater as we think about the message that's going forth. And if you would, let's turn over to the book of Matthew. Read a very familiar scripture. You've heard these things of just praying to maybe draw your attention to it a little greater this evening. Again, just to renew our minds to it. But in Matthew, the 24th chapter and the 37th verse, we'll begin. And just was thinking a little bit about these things, just kind of meditating. But here's Jesus speaking in Matthew 37. But he said, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in those days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark.
Yes.
And just think, for 120 years, Noah's message kept ringing out, it's going to rain.
Amen.
That prepare yourself. Get ready, it's coming. Think about the messages that's going forth. We know we're living in the last age. We know we're living in the last time. We don't know what's going to happen before the Lord comes. But look what how the Holy Spirit has been warning us. Be ready. Be prepared. Be careful of what may be coming. We don't know exactly how these things are going to take place. But that message has went forth to prepare us. And the most important thing is to be sure that you're well filled with the Spirit in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yes. And our life is vindicating and manifesting forth that Christ is sitting on the center control seat of our heart. Amen. Seeing the reality of this take place. And sometimes it's easy just to, we go to church and, yep, I believe a prophet, I believe these things. But as the Word was showing us this morning, it's more than just a profession. That's just one word. You apply that to every word of God. But how it's all things must be manifested and vindicated in our lives that truly proves out we are a believer of this message. And it'll show forth. But think of this as Jesus goes on here. He says, "And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." And I just think to the stress on that. Watch, for you don't know the hour. Amen. Of what the Lord. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And I was thinking of that. I won't read it, but our pastor read it here just a couple services ago where Brother Branham said, pray up hourly. Pray up every hour. And Paul told us to pray without ceasing. Think about these things as they were seeing the magnitude of that coming, of not knowing when it'll be, but to be ready. And you kind of got to stop to think about that. Of, you know, whatever you're doing in this life is natural if you know you've got something to do. You're making preparations for the time and the moment that you're going to do it. You're getting it all ready before you get there. You don't wait till that moment comes and then say, let me get ready to do this. But the preparation is happening and it's taking place. And how that should truly be what we're seeing now, what a serious time it is, what a sober time it is for us, and how we should truly be weighing out every word of Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned a couple services about, I think it was last time I ministered, as we were talking about be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And then our pastor today was talking about the billboards, the phones. Look at all Satan's doing, trying to conform you to what he's got. But we're to be ready for a catching away that's soon to come. And we're not in darkness. Let's turn over and just let Paul express it the way he did in 2 Thessalonians. You've heard these things. But in 2 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and as our pastor was stressing this morning, I pray that it strikes your heart as he read that scripture in James, and Paul was addressing the brethren. Think about all of these things that's written in this Bible. Paul was addressing the brethren at that time. And today it's to you and I. We're sitting here. We've heard these things. But in the 5th chapter of Book of Thessalonians, let's just start here at the first verse. "But of the time and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. By God's grace, we can sit here tonight and know we have been well warned." And I want you to think about that. We're going to stand without an excuse. So we've been well warned. The Holy Spirit has made sure to know, let us know what time and season we're in. And express it. "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction." And that word sudden, if you look it up in the dictionary, it's without warning. No warning then when it's going to strike. And how that, there's so many around the message that are looking at things, well, I think this needs to happen. I think that has to take place. This hasn't happened yet. So we're still some time off. We need to be aware that it can happen in the moment of an eye. Yes. We don't see everything. We don't know everything that's taking place around us exactly. but how we should be ready. He told us it would be sudden and without warning. And oh, how it ought to stir our hearts to know. Even as we sit here this moment, it should be that real to us. Amen. That he could come before this service is over. Yes. That's how close the appearing of the Lord is. Sometimes it's hard for us to imagine. You know, it's going to be this time. It's going to be over here. We're going to know. No, we don't know. It'll be as a thief in the night. Yes. Without warning, it's going to happen. Amen. And oh my, how we ought to just be living on the edge of our seats with anticipation. Not in fear, but with a great joy. Is this going to be the moment? Is this the time? Amen. Not with dread, oh, I'm going to have to leave this behind. But no, with a great joy in our heart, it's almost here. I am fixing to leave. But you know, sometimes our attention gets drugged down a little bit. Well, I still got this to do. I need to accomplish this. I got to go do this. But where's our true outlook on life? And we'll finish this as Paul goes on. He says, sudden destruction come upon them as fell upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. But ye are children of the light and children of the day, and we're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober, watching every day. Amen. Think about it. I'll read something the prophet said here in a moment. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another even also as you do. And how, as we see this time is approaching, as we're coming in and setting underneath the anointing of the precious word, but how it should go beyond just the service, how every day we should be living with that in our hearts, that watching. Amen. Watching what I'm doing, watching what I'm saying, and how it's truly a checking up time, checking and looking. Before I go on, let me read this. Brother Branham used this quote in What Shall I Do with Jesus Called Christ? And he was making mention about a man having blood on his hands, but he went into this little explanation, and then he just made a little comment. And this was preached November 24th, 1963, and this is paragraph 164 and 165. And we'll just pick up here where he just says, a man has to watch when he's got another man's blood on his hands. But he says, look at an airplane. A pilot out of a plane, when he runs that plane out, he checks every instrument. Why? He's got the blood of somebody on his hands. Every little instrument that can be checked, he checks. And when he gets out and turns the plane around, he revs up the motor, the engine, see that it's warmed up, and throw the throttle all the way on it to see that the blast wheel is able to compel or throw the propeller too, with enough air to take it off the ground. You've stood, many of you, in a plane or sat down there, and the whole plane shake off of the ground nearly. He's given it all he's got to see if there's anything out of line. Look at how he just... He's typing this. Just think of, type it to the spiritual. He's checking to see if there's anything out of line. And if it will, it'll spit and conk out. But if it checks again, he sits there a moment till it checks again. And if they hold his time a little, he checks it again. And how the church ought to be checking it again and again and again and again. We're waiting for his coming. And we're waiting for the takeoff. We better check it with the word. Not what somebody said. Be sure you know yourself as a personal experience with Christ. Check it again and again and again. And oh my, this is the time in which we are in. Well, I know these things. Well, let me renew your mind to them one more time. As our pastor said, maybe it takes two services. Maybe it takes three. It don't matter. We know these things, brethren. But Peter said he would not be negligent to put you in remembrance. And oh, may this precious word of God, may we not be negligent. Amen. To call it to our remembrance and to study and to worry and to not worry, but to read it and to match it up and to watch. Amen. For what God is doing in our hearts and in our lives. Yes. Here in Colossians, the third chapter, just over a couple pages, Paul expressing it here again. If ye then be, third chapter, first verse, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, is who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And oh, may we truly be setting our affections on things above and not on things of this earth. Yes. How is this time in which we're living, how it should be more and more focused to getting ready to leave this world. Yes. And you know, we've heard many things, and these are just a few things Brother Branham had said, and I just like his outlook. You know, he was actually, I didn't bring it with me, but he was having a prayer line. And it was in 64. But as he was calling the prayer line, he said, and we're looking for God. And then he kind of paused and he put it, not maybe in exact words, but he said, first, we're looking for his coming. But then secondly, we pray that he'll come and meet us with us here tonight. It was more important that he was in the middle of a service, a healing service. But he was still looking for the coming of the Lord. It was still more prominent on his heart to know that this could be the moment before we he'll have this next healing service. This he could appear. And may we be ready and watching. And how that's truly something. Are we spending our life looking that manner? That tomorrow may be our last day on this earth. And Brother Branham put it this way in a very familiar, in Questions and Answers preached in 60. This was August 23rd, 64. And the question was asked, Brother Branham, the question was, just to catch, because to get his answer, he said, is it too late for jail services and such work for a testimony to try to save souls, and should one sell all they have now? The Lord is coming soon. And Brother Branham answered it. He said, well, I hope I haven't said anything that would cause you to believe such as that. Have I? Have I? Forgive me. I don't mean, see, not just to presume those things. Keep right on going, preaching, having jail services, getting everybody. Looky here, the Seventh-day Adventist is out here not long ago, about 50 or 60 years ago, as I seen it in the Courier Journal paper. I've got it somewhere in a trunk, a great big piece of paper where they throwed the old wings out, where when they were called Millerites before they become the Seventh-day Adventist, and they had a whole big sheet in the paper up here at Franklin, Kentucky, when they sold their property, and they set a certain date and proved it by Scripture, Jesus was coming on that date. And they went up there and got their harps and things and set up on top of the hill. And the next morning coming down, the dew had took all the feathers down, and they come down deflated, see? It's cults and things. Don't you believe that? Jesus might not come for 100 years yet. And just, you can take this two ways. You can say, oh, Brother Branham said he didn't know, he may be 100 years yet. But you can also go back and read every quote. I'm just going to highlight a few of them. But go back and look at the urgency that was in his life every day. Jesus is coming. And it could be tomorrow. As he presents it, he says, don't you believe that? Jesus might not come for 100 years yet. I don't know when he's coming. No man knows when he's coming. But I'm going to try to keep on preaching and doing everything I can till he does come. And if he isn't here today, I'll be looking for him tomorrow. Yes. And if he isn't here this week, I'll be looking for him next week. And if he isn't here in 10 years and I live, I'll be looking for him the next 30. I'll still be looking. I don't know when he's coming, but I want to live true to his word and true to his people and live like a Christian and wait for his coming. And how that desire ought to be pulsating in our life greater than it ever has. Lord, I want to live every day as it might be that you could come tomorrow, but I want to live every day so close to you that people can see that I'm looking for something that's yet to come. Think of Abraham as he was journeying, looking for that city. Traveling, looking for that promise. It was evident that he was looking for something else. It was evident to people. And think about as he wandered about and here and there. People could see in his life what he was doing. They could see the changes he was making. And even Noah, as he was building that ark, I don't know what, that maybe God blinded the eyes to the people that they couldn't see those animals go on that boat. I don't know. Just think of the great signs God gave. If you'd have been sitting there and watching a set of sheep walk up that ramp and a pair of lions right behind them going onto that boat, you think something would have sparked in someone's heart. But oh no, it wasn't meant to be. But we've been given an opportunity. We sit here with the precious word and we're not in darkness. We know this day is coming. And oh, how it shouldn't be a day of dread. It shouldn't be, oh, I don't know. But it should be a day of joyous occasion. The Lord is soon to appear. And what a spark it ought to put in our heart. Yes, the revivals are dying throughout the land. They're trying to whip it back up, try to get people excited. But you don't hear nothing, nobody speaking about the life of Jesus Christ being reproduced. Yeah. You don't hear about people getting into the Word and letting the correction come and see it mold their character to Jesus Christ. They just go on with the same old message, the same old line of thought of the way things are. But God is dealing with an individual people here, there, wherever they may be all over this earth. But in their mind and heart, the main goal is He's coming soon. That's what they're looking for. And they're making preparations, doing whatever He leads them to do now to prepare them for that coming. And if He sees fit to use them before that coming for a move or a work or whatever He would have for them to do every day that they're still living here, they're ready for it. Ready in the harness, moving up to that great time. Here in the message, Brother Branham was actually kind of jumped ahead of myself for a little bit, but Brother Branham had, this is in the sudden and secret going away of the church, preached October 12, 1958, and he had read that scripture in 2 Thessalonians, and then he went into this piece that he was beginning to speak about. And I'll start about paragraph 17. He says, "It's an unusual thing to speak of a subject like this on a morning. I come down to minister to the sick, but there is a greater sickness than physical sickness. And it's much more essential that we be well for this great event that's just fixing to take place. That it would be even asleep in the Lord that is dead, we would know it. It's better to be ready. I'd rather be a sick man and ready with the Lord than to be a well man and not ready to go with the Lord. But however it be, God is so willing that we be both well and ready, soul and body, for He forgives all of our iniquities and heals our diseases. And He died for a compound purpose. And I was thinking today of this subject, the sudden and secret. People live today as though just before the coming of the Lord, if He is going to send a host of angels down to all the newspapers, and for a year or so announce it throughout all the world, and in the newspaper that on such and such date Jesus will arrive, and to have it broadcast by the radio and put on the televisions everywhere, just the day, just the hour that He was coming. And that's the way people live today. But God has said in His word it would be as a thief in the night, the coming. And if that would be so, people would say, as the world thinks today, oh well, there's just plenty of time, it'll be well announced. But you see, it is announced. But it's a secret announcing, and it's just those who are willing to hear it. Those are who are willing to consider it and who loves the Lord. And I think now of what Paul said when he said, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day when he stopped. And did you notice he said, not only me, but to all of them that love his appearing, if we love his appearing. Usually in the world today, the people think of the appearing of the Lord as a horrible and dreadful thing. And oh, the world might come, don't talk to me about that, they'll say. They don't want to know about these things. They don't care about them. Just for present day living. But those who love the Lord love His appearing. What if one of your loved ones or some of you older people that your mother was gone on or your father or your baby, and they were been away for so many years and you know that they might appear at any time, why, you'd have the house all cleaned up and you would be just ready and watching down the road for every car light that turned in, you'd think it would be them. And that's the way the church ought to be watching for the coming of the Lord, all in order, all ready, all packed up and ready to go as soon as He comes, because it'll be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And just try to time how long it would take your eye to twinkle. That's just how quick the rapture will take place. And oh my, won't it be wonderful if we're ready, if we're all packed up and we know where we're going. What a joy it'll be to us. What a joy it'll be to us now. As we walk every day, what a joy it'll bring. What a revival will be burning in your heart. What a love affair for the Lord Jesus Christ, if He's your first love. And if this word means more to you than anything else in this life. And if this seeing this in my life means more than achieving what I may have set out for tomorrow that needs to be done. But oh, He knows our hearts. He searches our reins and He knows our thoughts. And each one of us, we said here before Him, you don't answer to me, you don't answer to your pastor. But He's looking down at each one of us, and He knows how much thought we give to His appearing, how much we love it, how much we're looking forward to it, or how much we care more for getting our potatoes in the ground or whatever it is we have to do the next week. God knows. But I'm just praying that this will just stir our hearts a little bit. He is coming soon. And don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be downtrodden, but keep looking up. Look to what God is doing. Messages come to cut, to chip. It's still going to happen. As long as we're in this life, there's a higher height to be reached. And He's going to make sure there's nothing. We're getting ready. We're cleaning up house. Every situation, every aspect of our life being commoded to this precious word of Jesus Christ 100%. I don't know about you, but it's an exciting time to me. That we can truly see that all that He said, all the promises we've seen laid out before us, it's coming to pass. Yes, we may see some tough times. We don't know what will happen. But I do know that He will take care of His own. Yes. I do know He holds me in the palm of His hand. And He said, no man could pluck me from there. Yeah. Oh, He will watch over us. Don't mean we might not see hard times. There's people seeing hard times that have in this message now in different countries. They're seeing times that are tough. They're being tested. But God knows all about it. He knows who's genuine. He knows where His little elected is, and He will watch over them. And He's ever mindful of them. Amen. This was, oftentimes we hear people say, well, when that last one comes in, the rapture's going to take place. That's all we're waiting on. And you hear people kind of get into that thing, well, we're all in the world. We believe the message, so we're just waiting for that last little one to come in. And Brother Branham did say that, but I like the way he said it. It sometimes gets a little misquoted from the way he actually put it. But this is in the message. Then Jesus came and called, preached April 14th, 1964. In paragraph 6, he said, it's good to be back here again tonight and to be serving the Lord. I'll drop down to paragraph 7. He said, now it doesn't matter how much we speak to, we speak the same thing. I've spoken in companies of just 3 or 4, and I've spoke to 500,000 at one time. 250,000 another time. It don't matter what it is, what Christ sends me to listen to, I speak, and I wouldn't change my subject one bit. If it was 1 million people sitting here tonight, just the same, because I'm only sowing seed, and it has to fall into the ground somewhere, and when that last seed has been brought in, there won't be any more. We know there might be. And we wonder why the revival is not going on right now, why we don't see the enthusiasm with the people. And I don't know why, but let's just think. What if it's like this? Maybe there's a little boy here tonight, or a little girl, born over in Seattle, Washington. And that book holds her name, and he come to redeem, whose name was on that book. Redeem means bring back from where it fell from. And in the human race, she was fell, and she can't accept it now. She's too young. So the church will slug right along, just play along, and we'll have meetings and so forth, till that last person is brought in. And then the book is closed, and there's no more added, then it's all over. Until we, when to that time will be, none of us know. But let's just keep doing all that we can to His glory. Until that time is over. We don't know who that person is. It may already be in. We're just waiting for His coming. We don't know. And it'll never be revealed to the man the time of His coming. Because not even the angels of heaven know when it's going to be. But we're just looking for it at any time. And waiting, and we're watching for His coming. We're not just sitting back. We're not just saying, oh, we're just waiting for that last one to come in. But no, there's a diligence, a waiting, a watching, a looking. If you would, you sisters can come to the instruments, if you would. Let's turn over to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and just put this in there for closing as Peter. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. There's never a standing still place in Jesus Christ. We're growing daily. And if you're not growing, something's wrong. We don't want to ever be caught in a place to where we're stalemated. But oh, we want to keep reaching for those higher heights and always moving up to where He wants us to be. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. And just to start there at the 9th verse. Make sure I got that right. I'm in 1 Peter. That's why it didn't look right. Amen. Chapter in the 9th verse of the 2nd Peter. I went way too far. Amen. I apologize here. 3rd chapter in the 9th verse. We'll just back up to the 8th verse to catch it all. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Amen. I'm so glad. As some men count slackness, but it's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So why is it so important to the Holy Spirit to stress back to us about the tongue, about our words, our speech, our reaction? Think about it. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Oh, we of the time and seasons, brethren, you need not write, because you know. Look at what we know, and how it ought to be burning in our hearts in this last few moments of time. How we should be looking for the appearing of the Lord, loving that appearing. Looking and watching our lives with diligence, with soberness. Lord, I want everything right, just exactly the way you present it in your word. Not slack, just kind of go, he's going to come one of these days. One of these days I'll overcome that. One of these days I'm going to get to that. But looking for what he's got for us every moment of the day. Thinking, this could be the time. Amen. I don't know about you, but it's getting closer and it's getting more exciting. Amen. You feel it drawing on you. You feel the seriousness of it. There's just something about it wooing your heart. Lord, draw me. Let me make sure. And how we should be so cautious of the things of this world that are trying to trap us, trying to form us, trying to warp the way we think. You know, we homeschool our children and so much for, and as I talk to a lot of people, how that they're, people's mad at the school systems for what they're teaching their kids and how they're trying to brainwash them to believe a lot of different things. Our prophet warned us of that in 19, way back there, showing us that Satan was working through education, working through all of those things, television, through the radio, through all of this that's around us, working, trying to take control of that human mind. Our prophet even came and preached the greatest battle ever fought to show where that battleground was and how it would work. We're not without warning. We know exactly. Satan's tactics have been pointed out. God's plan has been revealed and laid out before us. But does it attract our attention? You know, I was reading the quote where Brother Branham had talked about. He was talking about a husband and wife in a relationship, and he had the young man come to him that they were going to get divorced, and they'd been married for so many years and had so many kids, and they were fixing to get divorced, and Brother Branham had told him that he was wrong, that he should still be her sweetheart just like they were the day that they met. And even more so after that much time together. And look at us as we have been in this relationship with Jesus Christ. How much sweeter it ought to be today. How much more closeness it ought to be amongst us today than it was the day we began. What a love affair it ought to be truly in our hearts. And it should be expressed for so. But this could be the day that our Lord would come again. Well, what an excitement it ought to place in our hearts, saints, to see the Word continuing. The Holy Spirit's not letting us just run rampant and do what we want, but it's right here pecking at our hearts. Yes. Make sure it's right. Make sure this is right. Keep in line. God's got a plan, and by God's grace, I want to yield to Him that, Lord, keep me right in the center of what you have for me. I pray that your desire as well. Amen. Yes, amen. Let's all stand, if you would. Let's sing that little chorus, "What a Beautiful Day for the Lord to Come Again." Brother Josh, you may have to help me. His prayer and home.
we ought to be encouraged. Amen. And strengthened, knowing the Lord is about to appear. We don't know the day or the hour, but again, as our brother brought out, we should be looking for it every moment that the Lord is going to appear. I couldn't help but to repeat this again as he read in 2 Peter 3rd chapter in that 10th verse, 11th verse. And thinking again about the leadership of the Holy Spirit and thinking about what he brought tonight. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, think about what he brought tonight. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation? Maybe you're not seeing what I see, but I'm seeing the Holy Spirit leading the people and getting them ready. Every step of the way, how close are we then? If now he's concerned about us having a holy conversation, huh? Was it just by chance? No, it wasn't by chance. It was the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you know? And if I'd have been just like in the dream I had, you know, when I first passed the serpent and walked by, and my thoughts was, he's not bothering anybody, just leave him alone. But then when I come back out of the house, he was trying to get in the house and he was ready to strike. And Satan is ready to strike all the time. It's between you and God whether you're ready to destroy the works of the enemy. And press on and not let anything distract you whatsoever. Not even a conversation that is not holy. But our conversation be holy. Because we know the day and the hour we're living in. And as it goes on later on to say, that we'd be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. Oh, glory. That's why these things are so important. You know, I know sometimes it seems like it's hard things to take sometimes. It's hard things said. But the thing is, sometimes it takes it being said hard to wake us up. You know? It takes sometimes a hard way of smacking that nail to drive it in all the way. To clench it in. To make sure it's in all the way. Sometimes you got to hit it really hard. And sometimes the Holy Spirit does that to us. Hits us hard. Sometimes it's hard to take. But I'm so thankful that he, the hammer, is there driving it in. Oh my. He's taking the hammer and driving in and making sure every word has to stay. It can't be missed. Not one word. No. So I hope you see it the way I'm seeing it. Amen. To me, it's just another confirmation showing us the Lord is about to appear. We need to make sure our conversation is very holy. And it's just the way God wants it to be. It's his word, is it not? Absolutely it is, you see? So it is important, yes, that word is too, that our conversation be right with God and with the people, wherever we talk to, whoever we talk to. It would be lined up with the word of God. That our life would be filled with the Spirit. We would talk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, not have a worldly conversation, foolishness, ungodliness, carnality, but a clean, pure conversation. Amen. You know, as the word, God's words, he said that his words is pure and clean. His words has been purified as through the fires 7 times. Yeah. For his word is pure and clean. There's no spots in it. There's no spots in this Bible. There's no spots in his prophets bringing the word. No, it's pure. It's clean. Now our conversation should be a holy conversation. What's holy? Clean. Undefiled from evil ways. Amen. Oh, I love that. Thank the Lord that our brother brought that. Just seemed to clench it for me. Amen. I'm so thankful. What did you get out of it? I got a lot out of it tonight. I sure did. You see? So I'm thankful for that. May God bless our hearts to catch and grasp it all. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of another service, Lord, and knowing this one thing, Lord, we're another week closer now to the appearing of the Lord. We don't know what this week will behold. We don't know what it'll hold for each one of us as individuals. But we know again, Lord, we're one week closer to the appearing of the Lord. So we ask that you'd help us, Father, each one as individuals. You deal with our hearts. May we wake up in the morning looking, watching, and loving the appearing of the Lord, thinking about it, praying about it, thinking about the glorious time we're going to spend with you, Lord, that we'll be able to lay down this life and take on an eternal body. Lord, a glorified body. Oh, a theophany. Lord Jesus, and be a people that can live with you. What a glorious time to look for. I ask now that you bless us this day and the remainder of whatever is holding for us tonight. Only you know, Father. I ask that you keep your hand upon us again. Keep us safe upon the highways. Bring us back the next appointed time if you should tarry. Again, Lord, we make sure that we give you the glory and the praise at all times. And Father, surrender our life in a greater way. Services today, stir that in our hearts today, Lord, that we'd surrender greater, that you have that greater preeminence. In Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior, we ask. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Don't you love it? I trust this is so real to you. If it isn't real to you, pray till it becomes real. Till God fills your life completely. That your life be filled with his Spirit. You would walk in that Spirit. Amen. May God's blessings be upon you, for we don't know if we shall meet again. But until we do, may God's mercy and grace be with you. Amen. You're dismissed.